Let us pray together, shall we? Almighty and everlasting God, in whom we live and move and have our being, you created us for yourself so that our hearts are restless until they find rest in you. Grant to us such piety of heart and strength of purpose that no selfish passion may hinder us from knowing your will, and no weakness from doing it. In your light, may we see life clearly, and in your service find perfect freedom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our hymn of praise is Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. It's number 64 in our hymnal and certainly on the screen as well. We will stand as we sing. Let us affirm our faith together by repeating the ancient Apostles' Creed. Will you join me? I believe in God the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Be seated. Now comes the time in our worship service where we share our celebrations and our concerns. I should like to go first and mention that we have two young ladies in this congregation who did a tremendous job swimming yesterday. I believe at the UT pool. Is that right, ladies? Where are you? My newspaper is at the top of the at the top. Well, come on. How you doing? You want to stand by me? Yeah, that'll work. Besides, I haven't even called the children's. I'm out of line today, aren't you? Can you? Yeah, I am. So you can hold my hand as I do this, okay?
Okay.
And we'll get together in a minute.
Okay.
All right. Sorry about that, okay?
Okay.
All right. So they had a good time at UT, and we're going to check and see in the newspaper if they've got their names in there. So Brianna and Alyssa, we're very proud of you. Could we give them a hand? Can you clap? Now, are there other concerns that we need to be remembering? How's Donnie Joe? Still the same and no change. I'm sorry. Let's remember Donnie Joe, your friend. Other concerns? Yes, ma'am. Brenda Milhorn, and who's the other one? Cloud. Betty and Don Cloud. Thank you.
Pastor.
I'm here.
Pam. Yes.
Ask that you pray for a friend of mine. His name is Brian Strickland.
Brian Strickland.
And he's in Oak Ridge Hospital, very critical.
Thank you, we certainly will. Your daughter, Pam?
Pam is improving. She's still not out of the woods. We're still worried about her blood count. She'll pick it up, and she's taking her B12 shots. And of course, the biggest concern we've got now is with kidneys. They are functioning.
And we're keeping you in prayers, too, because so much of this falls upon you. So let's keep Wanda there as well. Yes, sir. Did you all hear that? The Christians in Iraq, specifically Mosul, but it's all over the Middle East. Christians are really being persecuted. Thank you. Others we need to remember?
Pastor.
Yes, sir.
I had a stress test this week, and it didn't turn out so well, so I'll be seeing a cardiologist here shortly. And I just ask you that you keep me in your prayers, please.
Okay, thank you. Hey, I've been there, done that. You hang in there. Anyone else? Thank you. I would appreciate it. Thank you so much. The procedure went nicely on Wednesday. They did find something they were surprised to have, that my right coronary artery was totally blocked. And they had to go in with what they call rotor blades. I call it a rotor-rooter, but it's the same thing, okay? It's getting stuff out of the way. But they put in a stent. And thanks for all of your prayers. I'm getting there, maybe 85%, but I'll make it. But I will tell you, the doctor told me, had I not been very active athletically, and this means tennis playing, I would not be here. So now, will you please listen to me? Those of you who look like me, too heavy, walk, play tennis, stay after it, because I've gotten some more time. Yes. Yes. While we're at it now, Glenn, you're back and forth to Vanderbilt, and we keep you in our prayers, and we shall continue. Go back again Tuesday, right? Okay. Keep Glenn in prayers. Others still? Yes, ma'am. Who is your daughter? Leanne Richards. Okay. Pardon me? Anybody else? Tanya Utter. Okay. Absolutely. Absolutely. Anyone else? Well, before we go to the Lord in prayer, we're going to get the liturgy back in order, and you and I are going to have a little talk right up here, okay? Good deal. The first mistake I've ever made. Okay, let me get something. Brianna, Alyssa, I need you out here too, would you please? I need some help. Good. Let's see, can I pick on anybody else? Jim Cryer, why don't you come down here? I need some help. Just have a seat and sit around. I need to pick on one more. No, that's enough. That's enough. That's enough. We've got a big crowd today. Now, they may be big people, but I'll guarantee you they're still children at heart. Yes, you can sit over there. Now, this is an experiment. See, there we got a bunch of them, haven't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. I drafted them. Okay, now I have something that I want to ask you about, but I'm going to do something first, and I'm going to want you to think about what I have done, because I'm going to ask you in your own words to tell me what I will have done. Are you ready? Okay, now watch. What did I do? I threw it down. What did I do?
You murdered it.
I what?
You murdered it.
I murdered it. Okay, what did I do?
You tossed it at the floor.
I see, I'm going to get this right now. I threw it down, murdered it, tossed it at the floor. All right, Jim.
I think you disrespected the hymnal.
I think he thinks I disrespected the hymnal. Okay. Now, how many different ideas about what happened do we have here? He said I tossed it down. You said I murdered it. You said tossed it on the floor, and you said disrespect. Did I do it once or did I do it four times?
Four times.
I did it once, but I've got four different interpretations on what I did, right? I remember this. It's very key to how we look at life. It's most important because one thing can happen, but you can get all kinds of different ways of interpreting what happened. The same is true like with glasses. I can take my glasses off and I can see different colors and different light. I don't even know who you people are. But I put my glasses on, and I see Tommy Thompson. I see several other people I know, and some I'm getting to know. I see my wife right over there. This is an interpretation. It's a glasses prescription. Now, your technical term for this in philosophy and theology is hermeneutic. You don't need that word. But hermeneutic is the way you look at everything. Please keep this in mind as we work through the sermon, okay? Hermeneutic, how you look at something. Now, I really think that book's going to survive. Even though it's murdered, it'll be resurrected, okay? Let's have a prayer, shall we? Accept, O Lord, all the blessings you give to us. Accept, O Lord, our learning about how to look at things. And bless all of us, and let us enjoy our life to the fullest. Amen. Thank you, draftees. And would you pick that book up for me, please? I knew you would. Thank you. And I'm sorry I kept you waiting. Yeah, you can go now. Thank you. Shall we go to the Lord in prayer together? Let us pray. Father God, we break in our liturgy to cast our thoughts from around us and ourselves to you and to your glory, as you are in heaven as well as on earth. For it is in you that we live and move and have our being. Yes, Lord, it is. You have created us for yourself. And when we have a restless heart, we know that it is not resting in you. So please help us find ways to get back to you. We're grateful this day for a chance to worship, to come together, to share, to sing, to pray, to listen to scriptures, the word preached and read, for fellowship where we celebrate each other. We give you thanks for this beautiful area in which we live, East Tennessee, simple magnificence right here in front of us. Thank you, O Lord, for giving us a time that we can indeed live here, celebrate its beauty, and share the blessings of life. We confess to you, O God, that at times we really haven't paid much attention to our surroundings. We haven't paid much attention to our relationships, and we certainly haven't paid much attention to ourselves and our health. We confess that we simply have done what we've wanted to do without regard for the consequences. Dear Lord, help us be more mindful that even though the scriptures say, love one another, and that is true, but we cannot love one another unless we love ourselves. We're not able to. So teach us as we love one another to love ourselves as well. For you have indeed created us for your glory. You have indeed created us to do your work. You have indeed created us to witness to your magnificence everywhere. Now, Lord, there are many prayer concerns. You heard so many of them listed just now. We pray for Donnie Joe. We pray for those who are entering hospice, for Brenda Milhorn, Betty, and Don Cloud. We pray for Mr. Strickland, for Pam, for Wanda, as she ministers to her dear daughter. Gracious Lord, we bless those who are undergoing the stress test, not just the one speaking, but the one who mentioned it today. And we give you thanks for abilities to check, to see what's going on with our bodies, so that indeed your doctors and nurses, so that indeed your assistance with a great physician can help our bodies mend. Continue to bless Glenn and his family as he journeys back and forth to the great research hospital of Vanderbilt. Let them figure out what's going on within his body, and then let them, with your help, prescribe what needs to happen in order for complete health being restored. Lord, there are those in our congregation and people who know, members of our families, extended families, who are about to give birth or who have given birth. Thank you, O Lord, for letting us human beings participate in the great privilege of creation by creating other human beings. along with you. Thank you for the responsibility that that gives to all of us, and for not giving up on us as a human race by allowing new life to come. Now, Lord, there are many other things and many other people that are concerning us. Let us remember each other. Let us remember them. Forgive us of our failings, of our shortcomings, of our being too busy simply to live. But most of all, let us enjoy our salvation and let all other people enjoy it as well, as you strengthen all of us for the living of these days. All these things we pray in the name of the Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. A lovely job. Thank you, musicians. I was wondering if something needed oiling a while ago, but I think that was a bunch of birds, wasn't it? I think we're in good shape. Thank you so much. It's time now for the part of our worship where we give back to God that which He so generously has given to us. So let the ushers come forward. Thank you, O Lord, for the privilege and the opportunity to earn money and to spend it. Accept now a portion of what you have let us earn, your portion called the tithe, as well as our offering to you, which is beyond the tithe. Accept this money and let it be used to further your work through us, through this church, and through this church's ministry in the whole world. Amen. Our hymn is, I Sing the Power, the Almighty Power of God. It's number 152. We will join together in the singing.
Abroad and build the lofty skies. I
be seated. Before we have the reading of the scripture and the preaching of the sermon, let me just say that throughout my years of ministry, I've done a great deal of teaching about the Word and the Christian tradition from the pulpit, and then when I taught, I did a lot of preaching from the lectern. So I would encourage you, please, to follow carefully, make notes in the sermon as I preach the sermon in your bulletin, because I will be challenging you to reflect. I will be introducing to you perhaps different ways of thinking about the faith and also about who we are as Methodists and what is actually in the scriptures and what we profess as sacred in the Bible. So today we have four different scripture readings, and you see them listed there in the bulletin. From Genesis chapter 1, hear these words. And then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And then over in the next chapter of Genesis, from chapter number 2, beginning with the second part of verse 4, hear these words. "In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no plant of the field was yet in the earth, and no herb of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no one to till the ground, but a stream would rise from the earth and water the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." And then progressing through the Old Testament into the book of Proverbs, from chapter number 8 of Proverbs, hear again the word of the Lord, beginning with verse 22. "The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago. Ages ago I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no springs, where there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. When he had not yet made the earth and fields, or the world's first bits of soil. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made the firm skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he arranged to the sea its limit, so that the water might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master worker, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the human race." And then finally, from the fourth gospel, the first 5 verses therefrom. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." Amen. And here end these readings from God's most holy word. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our salvation. Amen. One day, several years ago, I'd just taken my tray from the cafeteria line at Hiawassee College, and I sat down at the table where the faculty usually sit. We talk about everything under the sun, politics, students mainly, and each other, and all the challenges and fun that we have in teaching the young people. One of my colleagues slipped his tray beside mine and sat down. He was a math teacher. And he said to me, "I have a question for you, Bill." I said, "Shoot, man. What's your question?" He said, Do you believe in the biblical story of creation?" I said, "Well, certainly, but which one do you mean?" He said, "You know, the one about the 6 days and he rested the seventh day, creating man on the sixth day, that one." "Yes, certainly, but what are you going to do with the story of creation in chapter 2? "You mean there are two stories of creation in Genesis?" "Yes, there are. Chapter 1 and then chapter 2. And furthermore, John, Proverbs has a story of creation, as does the Gospel of John. Four stories of creation in the Bible. Now, which one did you want me to believe?" "Oh, I think I probably ought to go read my Bible." So he took his tray and he put it into the depository and we went back to class. I never will forget that exchange. He didn't ask me any more questions about what I believed. But we were good friends. It was fun. But so much of society is trying to get other people to believe as you believe and somehow pushing them away in case they do not believe as you believe. And this is really quite sad because it doesn't have to be this way. Our founder, John Wesley, back in the 18th century, which of course is the 1700s, he began preaching the Word of God right in the midst of the powerful intellectual movement known as the Enlightenment. And the Enlightenment of Europe, England, and certainly the United States resulted in people saying, "You know, if it is not reasonable, it is not true. It has got to make sense." And so people believing in reason, they really took over the intellectual parts of the world's reflective thought. Into this particular context come the Wesley brothers. They're very brilliant people. John Wesley knew five languages, of course, and could speak them and read them. He was a prolific writer. And he founded our movement based upon a certain method of lifestyle. Certain times for prayers, certain times to read the Bible, certain times to reflect and write in your journal. That's why we're called Methodists, because Methodists are those who have a method of living their lives. Now, Wesley would feel right at home in our particular environment where you've got some folks still reliving that famous trial that happened a few towns to the south of us, the Scopes trial at Dayton. Many people are still dealing with the evolution question. Do you believe in evolution? You can't believe in evolution and believe in the Bible too. That is one set of antagonistic relationship questions. It has split families. It has split people. Another one, not unlike it, is known as the theory of intelligent design. I went to their website, and this is how they define themselves. The theory of intelligent design holds that certain features of the universe and of living things are best explained by an intelligent cause not an undirected process such as natural selection. So all of this is out there. Those items were not out there in the day of Wesley, but others just as serious were. Calling into question, what do you believe? Can you believe this at the same time you believe that? Can you hold two or more contradictory ideas in your head and still believe in the Lord Jesus? Now, that's our challenge today. It hit me once again, not just with a colleague, but I suppose it was two falls ago. I had a student. He would pick up different things that I would say in lectures or introduce in the way of videos, and he would come to me, and he was, I'm telling you, the right wing politically and the right wing religiously. And so he loved to come to my office and challenge me. Of course, I love a good challenge. Bring it on. It's fun for me. It's interesting because his first name was Wesley. I thought to myself, my goodness, we've got a tremendous contradiction in terms here. But he would come in, and I told him a story. I says, now, Wesley, you can't tell it by my profile now, but when my entire decade, when I was in my 40s, we would get together at the Y in Bristol, and we would play full court basketball. And when I wasn't dropping three-point shots, I would get under the basket. And I have a rather broad platform on which to sit, and this helps get me space to do some rebounding, even though I'm not that tall. Every now and then, one of the opposing players would give me quite a shot to the ribs. It would take my breath away. I would run down the court. When I caught my breath, I'd smack him on his rear, as athletes are prone to do, and I says, that's a good shot. Yours is coming. And then when I got the shot, I would take it. I mean the other kind of shot. We became fast friends because of our brutality under the basket, but we were opponents. We didn't agree. You see this on the athletic platforms, on television, and in our high school gridirons and baseball diamonds. You've got people who are combatants, but they're friends. This is the lesson that Wesley has for us. And I told Wesley, my student, look, you will never convince me to be a believer of your right-wing ideology. Honey, could I have some water, please? Of your right-wing ideologies. I says, but what I can tell you is I will respect your right-wing ideologies if you will respect my middle of the road. We can be good friends. He said, that's a deal. I want you to know he took every course I offered. He worked hard. We disagreed fundamentally, but we were still friends. And I'm writing him references for his continued college education. Do you see the example? That's not original with me. That's Wesleyan. Now, sometime I want you to go online and I want you to pick up John Wesley's sermons, because we Methodists are often accused of believing really nothing. Our theological base is whatever. It's not exactly right, but that's how it spins out many, many times. There's a reason for this, and you find this in Wesley's 39th sermon, known as Catholic Spirit. He wrote that in 1750. And I want to share with you how the founder of our movement thinks about intellectual disagreeing, and jot this down, Catholic Spirit. Thank you, dear. I'll take you out to lunch. A bit scratchy there. So this is what he writes. many different points of view now. Please keep this in mind. The whole intellectual gamut fights with Christianity, and Christians fight among themselves. He cites, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." He also quotes John, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for him." To lay down our lives for our brethren too. And again, he quotes John, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. He that does not love does not know God, for God is love." Then Wesley asks the question, paragraph 3. All men approve of this. That means what the Bible says about love. But do all men practice it? Daily experience shows the contrary. Where are even the Christians who love one another as he has given us the commandment? How many hindrances lie in the way? Two grand central hindrances are central. First, we can't love each other because we can't think alike. And in consequence of this, we don't love each other. Secondly, he says, we cannot walk alike, meaning our ways of life are different. We cannot love because we're different people. But yet, these are small points of importance. The depth of love is unqualified. It doesn't matter what you think, how you believe, if a person can love, they're children of God. And if you and I know how to love, we're children of God. And that means we're all brothers and sisters in the love of Christ. Now jot down this passage. In 2 Kings, chapter 10, verse 15. "And when he left there, Jehu, he met Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, coming to meet him. And he greeted him and said to him, 'Is your heart right, as my heart is with your heart?' And Jehonadab answered, 'It is.' Jehu said, 'If it is, give me your hand.'" That is the basic tenet of Methodism. We are a religion, a denomination of the heart. Yes, we certainly hold fast to the creed, to the things of the faith, but we don't have to give up the things of the faith in order to be friends with people who do not think or live as we do. Wesley said in the same sermon that he refused to accept unbiblical ideas for the sake of unity. Nevertheless, he extended his hand of friendship unconditionally to anyone who knows how to love. Something that was brought home to me many times was after Katrina, when Church Street would send people down there on a very regular basis. Our workers came back, and they said it was unbelievable. It was terrible down there. What they did was muck out houses. They just dragged the stuff out. So I asked a very leading question of one of the participants. I said, "Can I ask you something?" "Yes, you can." "When you went to somebody's house, did you ask them if they were Methodist or Baptist or Catholic or Jewish or Islamic people?" "Oh, no, we didn't care. We knew they were in trouble." "Did they ask you what denomination you were as you mucked out their house?" "Oh, no, they didn't care. They'd come on in and help us." That illustrates Wesley's point. The issues that take people sideways and inside out. The theories of evolution, the theories of intelligent design, those four creation stories in the Bible, let them stand for what they are. These are four different perspectives on the creation. We believe that God made them. He is maker of heaven and earth, and that is sufficient. Hold fast to that and enjoy reading about the other's ideas. We might learn something. We might learn how people who don't agree with us think, which is good. That means we have talking points with people that we can love but not agree with. We've come to a time in a history, as well as Wesley's time in his history, where we think we have to agree with each other or they're not acceptable and don't have a place in the world with us. This is so very sad. Remember, you can tell if a person loves. Watch them. Watch them. I tell the little brides whom I counsel before marriage, I say, you want to see how your husband's going to be in years to come? Look how he treats his mother. Now, people, that'll preach. And the opposite for the daughter-father relationship. Look and see if there's love and how that love is expressed. That's how you know if the love's going to stick around, is how he treats his mother. You can observe, and I dare say that there's more loving among people going on than hating, even though hating is all we hear about. I suppose that's what sells news, isn't it? But I also suggest that if there were not so much loving of people who are alike and people who are not alike, then this world would be far shabbier than what it is now. It is love that literally makes the world go around. And if you and I know how to love, we can extend the right hand. If your heart is as my heart, then give me your hand. We don't have to agree. We can disagree. It's all right. Let's have a good time discussing points. Wesley still comes by and fusses at me. I have a good time. I fuss at him, but we are the best of friends. It can happen. I know it can happen because I practice it all the time. The math teacher and I had a good time the rest of the semester. He left and went somewhere else the following semester. But I never will forget his face when he said, oh, I better read my Bible. Many times we make conclusions and we don't have enough facts. Always get your facts. Find out if there's love. If there's love present, extend the right hand of fellowship, because love is of God. And if a person can love, they're a child of God. And if you and I can love, we're children of God. And if those people who are different can love, they're still our brother and sister, because we're children of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our concluding hymn is This Is My Father's World. It's 144 in our hymnal. There may be those individuals who'd like to unite in the fellowship of the church or come to the altar for prayers or come for a yet another prayer request. If you'd come forward as we sing the final stanza of this grand hymn of the faith, we'd be very pleased to honor your request. We stand.
Music of the spheres.
new members, because our new member is not joining me. She's already hooked up with me. She's joining you, and he represents the congregation. I'm delighted to announce the transfer of membership of my wife, Virginia, from Church Street in Knoxville to Rockwood here in the city. So, welcome, my dear. You've been here a long time, haven't you? Now, I also encourage you, I don't know how your custom is, I'm brand new here, but I would encourage you, as you are able, simply to greet her personally. And if you wouldn't mind forming a line on that wall and just coming right around and then exiting on out. Now, if you have to go and meet the Baptist to lunch, that's fine. But at the same time, I would like for you to come in to welcome her. She's been a member of Church Street for 20 years, so it's like home for her. But at the same time, this is our home. So please come by. Tommy represents the congregation, as I have stated, and he, of course, is standing with her. Now, will you receive the blessing? Go forth in peace, in joy, in thanksgiving. Go forth and remember to love one another as Jesus has loved us. Also remember, dear people, that people will know if they are looking at a Christian by how they love. Go in peace.